It's 6 minutes after the hour of 12 noon, Monday, January 17, 2021. We're in Central Standard Time here on the Power Hour. Dave Krieger here with you. Most of you now are masticating, hopefully not in the bathroom. We just want to let you know we got some late-breaking news in here. Epoch Times is now reporting Dr. Anthony Fauci invested in the Chinese regime's corporate national champions, large Chinese companies that advance Beijing's interest and benefit from state policies. This, according to a 2020 investment portfolio, according to recently disclosed financial records, which we're posting on the PowerHour.com's website. We just want to let you know that. This should send some alarmist signals up about where this man's allegiance is, and he's getting millions of dollars in kickback money. That's the way I look at it. He's not a friend to America. I can tell you that right now, given everything I've read so far in his financial statements, which you can download a copy of at thepowerhour.com. We have 10% off the global healing products at the Power Mall, along with 10% off iComplex CS, formulated by Dr. Robert Abel. 20% off Living Streams 2-ounce probiotic, 30% off Essential Digestive Plus, 20% off Grown by Nature Iron and Molybdenum Renatured 60 Count, while supplies last, and of course the Tranquil BOGO, that's still going on. We have with us someone who was a 20-year resident scholar at American Enterprise Institute. In September of 2017, Kevin Hassett, an economic advisor, was confirmed as chairman of the Council of Economic Advisors, and we have him here, a distinguished visiting fellow of the Hoover Institute, managing director of the Lindsay Group. He is on the phone with us here at the Power Hour. Welcome, sir.
Oh, it's a real honor to be on the Power Hour. Thanks so much for having me.
Now, you've got a new book out called The Drift, Stopping America's Slide to Socialism. Obviously, you've had a look at the economic and the political agendas of everything that's happening right now. Give me the 40,000-foot view of what's in this book.
Yeah, well, from 40,000 feet, the book tells the story of my time in the White House, being in the Oval Office, you know, many times a week, you know, spending hundreds of hours with Donald Trump fighting the war against socialism. And I think that people underestimate how serious, how grave the war against socialism is. And I think that there's a lot of really interesting stories about the things that we had to do to overcome Congress, to overcome the media, to overcome academia, and get Donald Trump's agenda through. You know, Donald Trump, going all the way back into the convention before he was elected president, mentioned that we were in a fight against socialism. And I think a lot of people don't know what socialism is. They don't understand that it's a path to totalitarianism. And unless you really dig in and understand what Donald Trump's fight against socialism looks like, I think you're almost doomed to fail. And this is something that we're experiencing right now. If you look at Biden's policies and how destructive they are for the economy and the country.
Well, here, part of the thing that gets me is that, you know, like we were reading this Facebook post earlier, and it, to me, it just smacks of this. If you're over 45 and don't have an under 30 mentor, not mentee, mentor, then you're going to miss fundamental shifts in thinking that are happening. You see, to me, this is the kind of thing, and it was put out by somebody that's under the age of 45, and obviously potentially under the age of 30 or close to. And the problem is when I see stuff like that, it reminds me of somebody that basically wants a handout from the government that doesn't have a pot to piss in and no real opinion in the first place, because there's nothing there as far as their economic output or anything that they have contributed. They take more than they give. And this is something to me that just smacks of socialism. What say you?
Yeah, I think you've nailed it, and you've also sort of hit the age disparity problem. You know, one of the things I write at length about in the book, after spending really the first half of the book talking about what it's like inside the Trump White House, what he was really like, stories about being with him and with Jared and Ivanka and so on, then I start to look at the incredible and document the incredible success that Trump's policies had. And then compare like that success to the way it was treated in the media, the way he was treated in the media, and then started to dig deeper and deeper into how can it be that, you know, as an example, you know, the left spent all of my life telling me that income inequality is a really important thing. Income inequality declined, or, you know, poor people did better under Trump than they did under Obama by a lot. You know, blue collar wages grew more in 1 year under Donald Trump than they did in 8 years for Barack Obama. All the things that the left told you that are like the key objectives of society, Donald Trump accomplished them. And then they basically demonized him and impeached him. And so the question is, you know, what are these people up to? And that's really the second half of the book. But one of the things is that they've taken over, the socialist totalitarians have taken over academic institutions. They've taken academic institutions, you know, at the high school level, even at the elementary school level, especially at the college and university level, and they're indoctrinating our young people into being socialists. And it's something that we have to recognize and acknowledge if we're going to, you know, come up with a battle plan to defeat socialism. And that's really what the last part of my book is about.
No doubt. And see, this almost has a parallel to the book that Mark Levin wrote, American Marxism, which,
exactly.
I mean, this is, and I mean, I've seen Mark talk about this book constantly every Sunday night. And that's one of the only reasons I tune into Fox on Sunday night is to watch him and what he says, because a lot of the things he's done, the people he associates with, and basically everything he spells out, especially in the last chapter of the book, on how to actually fight this stuff. Do you go into that kind of a detail? Because it says stopping America's slide to socialism. So can you give me a couple of the key pointers without giving away the whole book?
Oh, absolutely. And you know, I think that one of the ways to think about my book and Mark's book, which I am really fond of, and I'm fond of Mark too, and, you know, been on a show. The sure. thing is that my book is like a frontline story. I was in the White House. I went back. The president brought me back to help him fight the battle against COVID. And by the way, I want to talk about what you said about Tony Fauci, because I have a lot of strong feelings about Tony Fauci and that message that you just gave. But I think the difference between my book and Mark's book is just that I was right there on the front lines watching the, you know, things, bullets fly over our heads as we were trying to save the country. And I think that it's a really nice compliment to sort of like if you read a history of World War II and then you read a story from a soldier that was on the front lines, you're going to want to read both. Now, in terms of the things that we could do to fight socialism, we have to recognize that their number one weapon, because they control academic institutions, is that they've brainwashed Americans into thinking that the New York Times and Harvard University control respectability. And so that if you do something that makes you unpopular with the New York Times or unpopular with Harvard University, then they'll try to shun you from society. They'll try to, kill your client base and wipe you off the face of the economic earth. They don't control respectability. You know, they're socialists with an agenda that's totalitarian, but they've tricked most of America into thinking that, oh, well, if, you know, the guys at Harvard think I'm wrong, then I must be wrong. And so step one is we have to take back respectability. Step one is we have to take back respectability. Step two is, and you see it all the time, and it happens to you because you're a fighter for this, that the left, because they're so totalitarian, these socialists, they're bullies. And if somebody stands up to them, you know, it's astonishing how brutal the attacks on those people can be, right? You see it all the time. And step two is that we have to recognize that they use bullying and really intellectual terrorism to try to run people who disagree with them off the stage. And we can't let them do that. And that it requires two things. One, it requires that we stand up to them when they do it to us. And I hope you've noticed that you've seen me doing that with all the attacks that have come on me since I went to work for Donald Trump.
Sure.
But we also have to defend each other. You know, we have to call out the bullies and as a group defend each other rather than, you know, and you mentioned the American Enterprise Institute. I go into the Trump White House and then like all these aggressive bullies are coming after me on Twitter and everything else all the time saying I'm the economist who doesn't know at all what he's doing. And then like all my quote unquote respectable friends at the American Enterprise Institute, do you remember ever seeing any of them defend me?
Not a one.
That's the problem. That's the problem. Like the Bush Republicans decided that they didn't want to risk their own respectability by standing with Trump, even when Trump had sound policies that were going to fix the country. And so again, like we're going to end up a socialist totalitarian state unless we recognize that these forces are really pernicious and they're all around us. And you might think, oh, Joe Biden's having a bad year. There's no way that the Democrats have another strong election, but the control of the media. If you look at the polling for Joe Biden, it's terrible. The polling for generic Democratic congressional people isn't so bad. You know, that this is something where half of our country has been brainwashed, and we have to stand up against it and fight against it, you know, in the media and on the internet.
No doubt. And see, Kevin, this is one of the things that gets me. And you've been in the Trump White House when all this came down, and we're talking about the coronavirus here. And all of this information that is coming out is showing that Fauci is so linked to this stuff, it's not even funny. I wouldn't be a bit surprised if he's not deeply tied. Well, I mean, I know he and Gates shook hands in 2000. And, to me and most of the listeners out there, this is an effort to depopulate as much of America as possible. And that a lot of Democrats or people who are registered Democrat followed the agenda of the Biden administration and took the shot. Now, if they did this, and because most people are just now coming out disclosing the contents of this stuff that aren't listed on the sheet there, the slip that you get in the vaccines themselves, they don't talk about all of the nanotechnology. They don't talk about any of the magnetic hydrogel and where it goes, and that the fact that it could be sterilizing all of our kids. I mean, they're not saying anything. If it's given teenagers myocarditis, it's causing all sorts of respiratory problems. It's causing, deaths, of course. And, of course, the government is not basically running with those numbers, because if they were to give America the true numbers, they would show exactly how this agenda is working. And they're not killing enough people fast enough. But then again, this bioweapon, which most of us believe is what it is, that Fauci's tied into. Well, see, I think in some respects, and this is where I get into the thing with Trump, I believe that Trump got misled in a lot of ways by Fauci and his clones at the NIH, his cronies. But I also think, you know, because of the fact that jab wasn't even out there yet, and Trump got all the therapeutics and got healthy again, he and Melania both did. And I'm like, okay, why didn't he look at the therapeutics first and listen to Scott Atlas and others that were saying, Mr. President, here's the situation. I'm not liking what I'm hearing out of Fauci. Something doesn't smell right. And so now all of a sudden, every single thing we're doing, oh, you got to wear 2 masks. You got to wear 10 masks. You don't have to wear a mask. The vaccine is somewhat effective. It's not effective. And then the president goes on TV, I got the booster. And I'm like, oh, my God, why did you do this? You know, what economic sense does this make?
Well, you know, you really said a whole bunch of stuff there. So let me respond to just a little bit of it.
Sure. I want your take on it, because that's right. What we're all about, is dialogue, you know.
Yeah, that's right. So first with the vaccine, I think that hopefully everybody listening has a doctor they trust, and they'll talk to him or her about what they ought to do and for their own circumstances, depending on their own personal risks and so on. And the sad fact is that Americans as a whole don't trust Fauci, don't trust the health infrastructure, and they don't because they have been lied to for so long. You know, I have a couple of stories about Fauci that I want to tell. Like thing one, that they had shut down the economy. We were having the biggest decline in GDP since the Great Depression. And the president and the vice president asked me in to basically make a presentation to the task force in the Situation Room in the White House about like the dire straits that the economic effects of the shutdown were going to put us in. And I made this presentation where I basically said, look, we're about to have the biggest negative quarter for GDP since the Great Depression. And I had all this stuff that, you know, what that negative economic shock could do to the country, and how if we stayed shut for like another month, we'd have a few of those quarters and potentially have a Great Depression. And it was based on really sound economic modeling, the kind of modeling that got all of those Trump policies right before COVID. Okay, so when I finished it, I looked around the room and everybody in the task force was pale and frightened, because they understood that these really, really strong measures they had been taking to fight COVID were a threat to our country as a whole. You know, that they were doing things that they just didn't understand. And but the first person to speak after my presentation in that Situation Room, I'm not kidding, was Fauci. And Fauci looked up at the vice president and he said, wait a minute, I'm still in charge, right? And so he didn't care about the destruction, the economic destruction, the people losing their jobs, the lives that were threatened. The very, very first thought, he was the only one in the room whose face didn't turn white. He turned red, and he was mad because he wanted to be in charge. And when that happened, honestly, I thought it was chilling. I thought it was chilling. It felt like he just doesn't have feelings for ordinary people. He has no empathy. It was a very chilling moment. But
Kevin, you said he looked at you and he said, I'm still in charge. Aren't I still in charge here?
Yeah.
Who's the president?
The president. Yeah, he's in charge. You know, but the next thing is that, so now we know that they funded this gain of function research in Wuhan, and that the research that Fauci might have caused the virus or created the virus. Okay. Maybe it didn't. Maybe it did. So I'm in the Oval right at the very, very beginning of the COVID crisis with the president and with Fauci and with Dr. Birx. And the president turns to Fauci and he says, well, is there anything to the story that this might have leaked from a lab? And Fauci said, you know, absolutely not. There's no evidence of that. In fact, there's really strong evidence that it comes from the meat market and the pangolin. And he goes on.
Oh, my.
The thing about it is, and this is okay. And I saw him do that to the president. I was right at the Oval, you know, in private meetings when he did that. The thing about that that's for so upsetting for me is that suppose that you or I were running the NIH and then these guys came to us. They said, hey, we're doing this. You know, gain of function research at the Wuhan lab, but we really got it. But don't worry, it can't possibly leak out into the real world. And it's important because if we invent, you know, these new viruses, maybe. So I think we should do this research. And so then you and I decided, okay, we're going to fund that research. Forget about whether we would do that. Okay. So then a year or two later, I think 2018 was when the last research was funded. All of a sudden, there's an outbreak of precisely that virus in precisely that town. Okay, the honorable thing to do, what you or I would do, is you go into the Oval and you say, Mr. President, you know, I don't know for sure, but it could be I really messed up. And it could be that something really nasty is coming out in Wuhan, and we should act as if it is that bad because it could be. And you know, it's possible that these guys screwed up and it left the lab. You know, and the point is, instead of doing that, do you remember what Fauci did? He ridiculed the president when he shut down travel from China. And he said, oh, it's, you know, it can't, remember at the beginning, they said it can't even go from humans to humans. That you got to get it from an animal. And so for me, I obviously think that if you look at people who have been following this closely, that people are really, really beginning to wonder about, like, what is Fauci's role in all this? And having been in the middle of the White House, I could say that I have as low an opinion of him as I have of anyone I've ever met in my life.
No doubt. And see, the thing is that we're starting to see not only the economic blowback, but we're starting to see the fact that the liberal left-wing media and all of its supporters and everybody backing it behind the scenes, deep state, everyone involved in this thing knew that this was going to happen. Gates knew it was going to happen. They basically set this whole thing up to happen through the World Economic Forum, through Dr. Ralph Baric at UNC Chapel Hill, through Peter Daszak at Echo Health Alliance. This whole thing was set in motion, and Fauci, we believe, and most of my listeners will agree with me, and you can call right now, 844-769-2944, if you want to chime in on this conversation, folks. We're here with somebody, Kevin Hassett, who has actually been in the Oval Office with the president, and you can ask him questions. Now, the narrative that he just set in motion with Dr. Anthony Mengele, the problem I have with this man is he is a pathological liar, and I liken him to a Nazi. And this is all set in motion to force America to lock down so they can indoctrinate people into their socialistic tendencies and tear America down. And see, I didn't see any really elderly people out there, which comprises a lot of our listening audience, Kevin. I didn't see them in 2020. Throwing Molotov cocktails at police cars and burning down police precincts. I saw the younger set that was influenced by these socialist agendas in these universities. Those were the ones out there doing the rioting, shooting police officers and murdering people.
It was a very crazy year. And again, you know, if I were to go to a university and just give a normal economic talk, then, you know, people might attack me, right? You saw what happened when Charles Murray, you know, went to a small college in New England and, you know, people got beat up. People went to the hospital. The fact is that mood that you're seeing on campus is something that I talk a lot about in The Drift, about where it comes from, why it's there. And it is spreading amongst the young people. But I think that there's a big backlash against it as well. And the response that I've gotten for the book, people are like, well, thank goodness you wrote about it. I understand it better now. I understand how to peacefully stand up to it. And, you know, in the end, I know we're getting a little bit close to the end of our time. In the end, I just want to say that I'm incredibly hopeful. Because there's so many good people in this country, people who understand the benefit of, you know, America's traditional system and our rule of law, grace and courtesy towards one another, that I think that the negative sentiment towards Biden and what they've tried to do this year is a really massive backlash against the drift. And I think that we've got a lot of momentum in our battle against these socialists, in part because they're failures this year, and that we need to take advantage of that momentum and push it forward by studying them, understanding what their tactics are, and then standing up to them and stopping them. And the final thing I want to say is that there's this really, really brilliant guy right about in the book from the 60s named Marshall McLuhan. And Marshall McLuhan was like this media theorist who thought about the impact of changes in media on the future society. And he wrote about the internet way back then. And he said that what was going to happen at the beginning of the internet was that we would take away the power from the leftist elites, because they would no longer be able to curate your life through the CBS Evening News, but rather you'd be able to get your news from wherever on the internet you could find it. But that once the elites figured out that we were going around their control of the information in our lives, then they were going to start to what he called organize inattention. And that basically means to cancel people from the internet. And right now, what are you seeing?
Right. Same thing. Watch everything you're talking about. Yeah.
Right. And so but McLuhan wrote about this in the 60s. And so in the book, The Drift, I go into that stuff in detail and then again talk about what we could do to make sure that that doesn't happen to us. Because right now we're at the point where we're winning, but we can't let them shut us off the internet.
That's right. Well, Kevin Hassett, thank you so much for being on the Power Hour with us. The book is The Drift, Stopping America's Slide to Socialism. Pick up a copy of that where most books are sold, and on Amazon.com. We know that for sure. Thanks so much for being on the show. We'll be back with more news after the break. Stay with us.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with olive oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that olive oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
The Power Hour has been in existence since the turn of the 21st century. It is more critical than ever for you to sign up for our free newsletter and our breaking news. Simply text the word Power Hour to 22828 on your mobile phone, or sign up when you visit thepowerhour.com. Our website again is thepowerhour.com, or text Power Hour to 22828. Together, our legacy will live on for centuries.
Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall. When talking of great immune support, a line of products comes to my mind. That's North American Urban Spice. We carry the Rest Vital Calf, Sinew Orega, Oreganol Juice, Pure Lisi, Chaga Max, Collagen Power Plus, Orega Rest, Super Strength Oregano Oil, Black Seed, and many more. Support small businesses when you buy from the good guys. Go to thepowermall.com or call 877-817-9829.
I don't know where to start. There's so many products you guys offer. I think one of the first things I ever ordered from you guys was your clay. The clay is miraculous. I could not do without that. And the charcoal, you know, you can get yourself in a bathtub to kind of help take the toxins out. So just those two alone, but I could go on to the Optivita Silver Lozenges. Of course, then the Oregaresp and the P73, the oil of oregano, and your Vitamir toothpaste. Again, I could go on and on and on.
Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
This craft that the Strauss family had of recognizing the medicinal value of herbs by taste and then putting formulas together, knowing the herbal ingredients they needed, but putting them together in perfect proportion by taste, just like a chef would, the Strauss Heart Drops, the world-famous Strauss Heart Drops that saved my life, Jim Strauss's and many others, my dad, my list goes on and on. But those Heart Drops, they were developed, created 40 years ago for Jim himself after a heart attack. Now, this formula fixed my high blood pressure over 20 years ago, and I have had great blood pressure since.
Call Jay at 877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Noon. That's right. Monday, Martin Luther King Jr. Day. And for those of you listening in Central Time, the number to call is 844-769-2944. If you're listening any other time, you're probably hearing a rebroadcast of the show. Lots of news going on. In fact, Open the Books is now reporting, which if you haven't been online to look at Fauci's disclosures, his financial statements, we have them posted online at thepowerhour.com. New disclosures show Fauci's household in 2020. During the pandemic, made $1.7 million, including income, royalties, travel, perks, and investment gains. $1.776479. That's the exact amount. You can go online and download a copy of it. And I would be incensed if I were you because, you know, even if Fauci himself did not invest in this stuff, there's nothing stopping him from telling his wife to invest in all the pharmacology stocks. Yeah, because if they're making all that money, he knows whether they're going up and down. And why do you think he's been encouraging everybody to wear the N95 masks or the KN95 masks? I mean, they're now, the CDC is updating its mask guidance, advising more Americans to wear masks. Respirators, these KN95 respirators or N95 respirators, largely used by healthcare workers to get the most protection against COVID-19. But wait, there's more. And I'm not even going to give you the Ginsu steak knives as part of this, other than to stick Chucky with one. This is just terrible that you've got Congress and everybody else toeing the line. They're all drinking the Kool-Aid. Well, we know what happens when you drank the Kool-Aid, right? Just ask any of the people who survived Jonestown about drinking the Kool-Aid. And I'm talking about taking the jab. And then you got to wear a well-fitting mask, according to CDC Director Rochelle DeWitt Walensky. She wants you to wear a well-fitting mask. Why don't you put a plastic bag over your head, Rochelle? We don't need to hear it. Take a deep breath now. Yeah, have a Covaxin. Have one on me. This woman is pushing the narrative. The White House COVID response coordinator, Jeff Zients, pushing the narrative. They're all pushing the narrative. They've got half our population scared. And the only ones who aren't are the ones that's listening to the show because they've got the common sense, which is why we tell you, call in and share some of that like Steve in Kansas did, telling everybody to stand their ground and not put up with this nonsense. 844-769-2944. Again, if you are even thinking about ordering these free at-home tests, you're not going to get the Ginsu steak knives with those either. Instead, they're going to track you understand what they're doing and why they're doing it. They're going to get your contact information, and they're going to track you. All these households, most of them, are all blind to all of this that's going on. And so understand that the Postal Service is probably looking into this as well. Their workers' union president, Mark Diamondstein, said the union agreed to allow the USPS to use up to 7,000 temporary workers to label and package the test kits at 43 existing facilities, and many of those holiday workers are being held over for the project. Oh. See, they got everybody on this game, folks. And the thing is if the CDC on one hand has said these tests don't work, why would you want to put your name on the government list? Seriously, how smart are we when we have to stoop so low as to trust every single thing our government says? And you even look at the CDC's own website and what they're doing to track these variants. They're using genomic surveillance. That's right. They're using genomic surveillance. Think about that for a minute. It alludes to everything that I just told you about having your name, your contact information, and the possibility that if you got the jab, they know that too. And they know where you are at any given moment because all your genomic surveillance in the form of this magnetic hydrogel and where it's at in your system is tied to your cell phone. You have that cell phone. What do you think they call it an iPhone for? It's me, 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 me. It's all about me. iPhone. Me, 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 me. Hey, Rocky, watch me pull a rabbit out of my hat. That trick never works. Nothing up my sleeve. No doubt about it. Got to get another hat. Yeah, got to get another mask. Yeah, this is just nutty, folks. To think that our government would stoop so low as to track its own citizens. Well, guess what? Mercola is reporting dozens of peer-reviewed studies show that when COVID-19 is treated within the first few days of symptom onset, there's an 85% reduction in hospitalization and death. With Omicron, we've been gifted a best-case scenario. The highly contagious virus can rip through the population, causing only mild symptoms, thus producing herd immunity without the risk of mass casualties. 2 months before the rollout of the shots, the FDA was aware that they could cause serious problems, including heart attacks, strokes, myocarditis, blood clots, neurological problems, and more, but they pushed them away. They pushed them anyway. They pushed the jabs. They pushed all those therapeutics away. And so Vladimir Zelenko, one of the frontline doctors, believes that SARS is a bioweapon. Patents spanning two decades support this view. Dr. David Martin has been through them all. He's read them. He's seen what they are. Anybody reading them, the hair will stand up in the back of your neck, if any you have. Those who created the weapon also investigated and identified antidotes, which include zinc, ionophore, hydroxychloroquine. You know, it's there. It should be part of your medicine cabinet. That's why we have posted on the Power Hour, Syed Haider's COVID manual of all of his protocols and a way to contact him directly. All you got to do is click on the link and it will connect you to his office directly. And you can order what products you need in prescription form filled by a pharmacy of his choosing after he has pre-screened them to make sure that they don't cause him any grief when he prescribes ivermectin or any other drug for you to put in your medicine cabinet in case you think you're coming down with something. But Zelenko, on the other hand, believes that all of this nonsense, this antidote to COVID, he thinks it's a tool to tag people for the New World Order slave system. See, these are doctors now that are thinking this is all part of the bigger picture. And in his book, The United States of Fear, psychiatrist Mark McDonald diagnoses the U.S. is suffering from mass delusional psychosis, driven by an irrational fear of what is now a rather innocuous virus. Oh, my, should I tell you what's going to happen tomorrow? I mean, I just got something in that basically says that there's an asteroid that's going to pass by the Earth. The headline says it's going to whiz by the Earth. Wow. Yeah, potentially hazardous. Asteroid bigger than Empire State Building to whiz by Earth on January 18th. Here's what you need to know. It's 2.5 times the size of the Empire State Building. and it's going to whiz past the Earth January 18th tomorrow, unlike the one that in some theorize put an end to the dinosaurs 65 million years ago. But fear not, despite the object's official NASA designation as potentially hazardous, the careening megaton asteroid poses little threat to us terrestrials. Just so you know, Epoch Times reported that. So if you hear anything, don't fret it. Don't sweat it. This whole idea about fear is this lions and tigers and bears, Omicron. This whole thing, there are ways to combat this, folks. Just because you get a little sniffle does not mean you have COVID. And because of the fact we don't know how transmissible Omicron is, despite what they're telling us, what they tell you may be their narrative to scare you and keep you in fear. And the government, corporations, powerful individuals, they're all behind this. They've engaged in a systematic grooming effort, according to Joe Mercola and Mark McDonald, who wrote this book. Without fear, they cannot rob us of our freedoms. And this is something that Kevin, our previous guest here on the Power Hour, Kevin Hassett, he was inside the White House, and he basically said, we have to get over this. Got to get over all this fear. What you need to do, it's kind of like you're watching Harry Potter, and they're all wondering what the shape the boggart is going to take when they open the trunk or they open the closet door. The professor opens the door, and you have to wave your magic wand and turn it into something funny. You see, that's the whole idea behind all of this gobbledygook the government is putting out. According to published research, kids are at risk for potentially lifelong health effects from this jab. They're all trying to get everybody to take. And there's a video out, which we're going to be posting on here, featuring Colette Martin, a Louisiana nurse, blowing the whistle. She has testified before a Louisiana Health and Welfare Committee, claiming she and her colleagues have witnessed terrifying reactions among kids, blood clots, heart attacks, encephalopathy, arrhythmias. And, of course, their concerns are dismissed. Here's these people, frontline doctors, that the government now wants everybody to take the jab. They've created a second class of citizenry because now they've separated them from all the companies that have over 100 workers. This is what the Supreme Court has done with this little finite ruling, folks. They've made two classes of citizen. One, a healthcare worker, somebody who has to treat you when you go into the hospital, and they demand they get jabbed, while people who have, you know, companies who have over 100 employees don't have to. Second class of citizen here. It's nuts, I'm telling you. And the Supreme Court should have known better, but they don't. When you get the Roberts Court, half these people are, especially the Democratic side, the liberal side of things, they rule with their emotion. They don't rule, and if they didn't rule with their emotion, then why did Sonia Sotomayor sit there and babble on about 100,000 kids in hospitals when the number was actually only 3,500? A real liar here. And a lot of companies like GE, which does a lot of manufacturing of jet engines, wind turbines, and medical scanners with 56,000 employees in the U.S. at the beginning of 2021, said that it's not going to mandate those vaccines, at least for the time being. And so Citigroup, on the other hand, which has 65,000 employees, is still urging their folks to get the vaccination. The mandate deadline, January 14th. It's already passed, right? Going into the last day of the deadline, we expect the number of employees who have not complied will decrease even further. Our goal has always been to keep everyone at Citi, and we sincerely hope all of our colleagues take action to comply. Keep everyone at Citi from what? Not being compliant or dying of something they didn't need, potentially. There's a new rare spinal cord condition that is now flagged as a potential adverse effect of the vaccine, according to an EU drug regulator. They have indicated there is a condition called TM. It's a rare spinal cord condition called transverse myelitis. It involves inflammation of one or both sides of the spinal cord. The symptoms can include weakness in the limbs and tingling, numbness, pain, or loss of sensation, or issues with bladder and bowel function. How would you like to have to wear a diaper the rest of your life, folks? I don't know. Depends. That's what senior citizens, the elderly, and babies have in common? Depends. And so it recommends changing the product information for the COVID-19 shots, AstraZeneca's Vaxzevria and Johnson & Johnson's Janssen vaccine, to include a warning of very rare cases of TM reported following the vax. This is an adverse reaction that people need to be aware of, and if they don't tell you this, you are in trouble. That is not informed consent. And I feel sorry for the Florida family that has been fighting to give their loved one on a ventilator alternative treatments for COVID. Florida's first district court of appeal have ruled no go. They're not going to force the Mayo Clinic to allow treatments recommended by an outside doctor. And when they appealed it, the first district court of appeal in Florida, the three-judge panel said, we're going to uphold the lower court. So what do you do if you're the family attorney? You say, so we wait and see what that looks like, unless it takes too long. 72-year-old Daniel Paisano does not have unlimited time, according to Eduardo Balbona, MD, an independent doctor in Jacksonville who's been advising the family since they reached out to him while researching other treatments. But then again, you heard the story about the guy who basically snuck in and gave his father ivermectin. And if he was on a ventilator, there's only one way I could think of how he would do such a thing, and that's he would take several ivermectin pills and crush them up and dissolve them in saline and sneak in there with a needle and inject them into his IV so he gets it in his bloodstream. Because his dad got better, and when the guy sitting in the or laying in the stall next to him saw what he was doing, he goes, hey, before you leave, give me that. And he had ended up getting up and walking out of the hospital. So, you know, you got to wonder what these people are going to do. Why don't they just take the doctor or take the guy, take their dad, Paisano? Why don't they just take him out of the hospital and take him somewhere else? Why do they have to leave him in the Mayo Clinic like this? They have, if they have any kind of rights, power of attorney, whatever the case may be, he's still alive. They should be able to remove him from that medical care and get him to the right medical care. Recovering on a ventilator, what'd they do? Give him remdesivir too? No, that's not going to be a good outcome. There's been a little bit of blowback as New Yorkers protested outside of AOC's office in Queens in the freezing cold. They are basically not representing any one organization, said their purpose was to persuade AOC to introduce legislation in the House to stop military involvement in Yemen. Wow. Boy, all the wrong reasons to protest. That woman needs to be voted out of office, folks. A former EPA regional administrator is telling the Epoch Times he approved a plan for a Wyoming coal power plant to move forward. And the EPA announced January 12th it proposes to disapprove the state of Wyoming's changes to its regional haze plan for Pacific Corp's Jim Bridger coal power plant, potentially closing down Unit 2 of the facility for a year or more. A Trump EPA official verified that he greenlit those changes in November of 2020. Now they've done a reversal. So much for fossil fuel, right? You want to make a mess of things? Let the government get involved in it. President Trump, if you were watching TV, held his first rally of 2022 in Arizona, in Florence, the other night, saying we're going to take back America. This is the year we're going to take back the House, we're going to take back the Senate, we're going to take back America. It's so important. Maybe this is the most important election we've ever had. I do believe 2024 will be even more important. We're going to take back the White House. But, of course, he didn't say he was running. Nope, why wouldn't he do that? Well, every time he opens his mouth and says he took the booster and you ought to get the jab, he makes enemies of Republicans who disagree with him. Why would you want to vote for somebody that's going to get in there and do the same thing that Biden is doing, mandating everybody gets the jab? Is that a chance you want to take? And yes, he did some great things. Kevin Hassett even said he did great things. I believe he did a great thing. The economy was fine in 2021 after this whole nonsense ended and things were reopening. The economy was great. And all of a sudden, the election is allegedly stolen, and all of a sudden now everything goes to hell in a handbasket. Those of you who were pulsing the hostage standoff at Beth Israel Synagogue in Colleyville, Texas, the FBI identified the hostage taker who was killed by police after a lengthy standoff there as a British national named Malik Faisal Akram. His brother seemed to think that he had mental issues. Nobody else was injured. They took out the target. Hollywood has some new rules, and we want you to read this article, folks. And it's getting posted on the email blast. If you don't have it, go to the Power Hour and sign up to get it. Because under Hollywood's new rules, the old boys club is dead, but a new one with its own litmus test and landmines is rapidly replacing it. This is all going to end in a giant class action lawsuit. Common Sense, a few years ago, editor-in-chief of the Hollywood Reporter, pitched a story to the newsroom. He just came back from lunch with a well-known agent who had suggested the paper take a look at the unintended consequences of Hollywood's efforts to diversify. Those white men who had spent decades writing scripts, which had been turned into blockbuster movies and hit TV shows, were no longer getting hired. Well, the newsroom blew up. The reporters, especially the younger ones, mocked the idea that white men were on the outs. The editor-in-chief, normally self-assured, immediately backtracked. He looked rattled. It was a missed opportunity. The story wasn't just about white guys not getting jobs, nor was it really about the economics of Hollywood. It was about the stories Hollywood told and distributed and streamed on screens around the globe every day. It was about this massively lucrative industry that had been birthed by outsiders and emerged out of lemon groves into a glamorous, glitzy mosh pit, teeming with chutzpah and broken hearts and unbelievable success stories that had made the American dream a real pulsating thing for Americans and billions of other people who thought that if you could imagine something, anything, you could will it into being. It was a story about who we aspired to be. And after that meeting, a reporter approached another editor about pursuing it. The editor told the reporter to drop it. No one, he said at the Hollywood Reporter, one of a handful of trade publications that covers the ins and outs of the entertainment industry, was going to risk blowing up their career over this. So you see, this is what happens, folks, when you don't speak out. Epic Times is also reporting it's a waste of time to keep vaccinating people against this virus, according to the former chairman of Britain's Vaccine Task Force, Dr. Clive Dix. He played a key role in helping pharmaceutical firms create the vaccines, but he's told LBC Radio on January 16th the Omicron variant is a relatively mild virus, and just to keep vaccinating people and think of doing it again and again to protect the population, in my view, is now a waste of time. He said the focus should now be on protecting the vulnerable, such as those over 60, 2% of whom remain unvaccinated over there in the UK. Here's part of the problem. If you're going to give everybody that's elderly the jab and they have all these comorbidities, well, you can bet in anywhere from 6 months to 3 years, you're going to see a huge die-off in the population. And why did U.S. deaths shoot up 40% above normal last year? I mean, even insurance companies, they're alarmed about the whole thing. The death rate up 40% among working Americans within a one-year period, and it's not COVID. And so the reliable data factors they have is all-cause mortality. Hard to massage that statistic. People are either dead or they're not dead, but they're paying out claims. From there, the cause of death identified in their death certificate is more in granular statistics, such as the number of people who died from cancer and heart disease in any given year, for example. But while the cause of any given death can be manipulated and altered, and we know that's happened, the fact there was death is more certain, and death rates tend to be very stable. But what we're seeing right now, according to Scott Davidson, CEO of One America, is the highest death rates we've seen in the history of the business, up 40% over what they were pre-pandemic. And, of course, we have our blue-collar trade journalism, used to be. Today's elite media have abandoned the working class, as we just told you. One tool to comfort the afflicted and to afflict the comfortable. Today, American journalism comforts the comfortable, speaks power to truth, and insists on an orthodoxy that protects the interest of the elites in a language of culture war, whose burden is given the working class to bear. Bataya Unger Sargon wrote in her new book, American Thought Leaders. That's right. That was on, and we're going to have that episode on our newest email post coming out on the powerhour.com. Make sure you sign up for that. And one last disconcerting note. Remember the kid that wore a skirt into Loudoun County and sexually assaulted two different girls there? He was sentenced to probation at a residential treatment facility until his 18th birthday in July 2024 and been placed on the sexual predator list. That's all he's getting for what he's done. And what is really strange is that Scott Smith, the father of one of the victims, wants you to forgive him. We'll have more news for you tomorrow and more things of educational opportunity for you here on the Power Hour. In the meantime, Dave Krieger wishing you the best. Godspeed and God bless the United States of America.
Heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiatics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.